Hi there. Dr. Fred Bell. Downtown Laguna. In the middle of the surf, where I always hang out. We're doing all our radio shows live in the water. I got a battery microphone here. And it's about midnight. We're out swimming. I'm out swimming tonight with Carrie Swank. She's a pretty good swimmer. We're going to be talking to her in a minute as soon as she comes up from under the waves. So welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. June 23rd. That would be 32nd backwards, 2006. So now I think I see Carrie showing up here. Well, here's Carrie. Say hello to Carrie Swank. Carrie Swank, how are you doing this evening? Is the water warm enough for you?
Well, I'm trying to dry off, so if you don't mind me, give me a minute here.
I got to describe what she's wearing. You know, she's from Copenhagen, Denmark. And over there, you know what they wear in the middle of the night swimming. So I don't even have to describe what she's wearing. So how does it feel to swim here in the surf at Laguna Beach?
Quite natural.
You feel natural, huh? Good. So tell us a little bit about your background. We've been looking at your pictures now for a couple of weeks on the website, and one of the guys up at BBS Radio, Doug, has a big crush on you, as you know. And I guess you said you would go out with him if he'd give you a call. So we got that out of the way.
That's because currently I'm not dating anyone, so are you setting me up?
Yeah, I think I'll set you up. You know, I got a lot of good-looking listeners out there that like beautiful, talented, sophisticated women.
Is that because I'm known as the hermit that never goes out?
Yeah, you're a cheap date, I understand.
No. Definitely not cheap, okay?
Are you high maintenance?
Quite expensive. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, good. So tell me a little bit about your background. I know you're a photographer. I know you've worked with the United States government. I know you've worked with parents of children that have been killed in combat in the Far East. So I don't know where you got quite a background going here. So just tell me where we start.
I got into photography basically as a hobby in Denmark, and everyone kept saying I should do it for professional reasons, and I really didn't want to. And it happened by a fluke. I had a girlfriend that was being photographed up in LA by a top photographer, and I saw the images of her, and she's gorgeous, and the images were not very good. And he was being paid $10,000 a day, and I went, well, I'm changing careers. And I jumped to photography that day.
Yeah, now I've noticed in your angel paintings a lot of beautiful women. Don't recognize any of them as far as big screen actors, so I guess you like to have a spontaneous choice of who you choose as your actors for your photography. Is that correct?
The angels, it has to be a girl off the streets. It cannot be a model. The portraits that I do, the high-end portraits, are just normal families.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So tell us about, you do a lot of portraits. Is that your main thing you've been doing for a long time, or what?
I did for many years. For about 20 years, I've done portraits. They're black and whites. It takes about a week to design. It takes about a month to do the final product. I take only 1 to 2 clients a month max. Some months I try not to take anybody because the angels are really a labor of love for me. It's what I really want to do.
Now I have a question. Now the process, it says on our website it's a silver gel process that you use to make your prints with, which I guess you let hand touch each one and
no, it's
explain
a
how that goes.
It's a gelatin silver print. Okay. And I don't really want to get into the technical. It's the same quality as an Ansel Adams print. It's a museum quality print. And that's only for the limited edition fine art prints. The rest of the prints are certainly not that process because it's a dying art process. It's all done by hand and it's just too extensive. And the type of prints I do, they're enormous. So it's very few labs now want to do them.
Yeah, I know. I've done some posters for some of the actors and actresses I've represented. I know that a 36 by 24 normal print is pretty much normal, but I notice having visited your gallery, I noticed that your portraits are rather large. I don't just think any shop in the country must be a highly specialized thing to make a gorgeous, you know, print like that so large.
Yeah, and an average size is about 41 by 41. Some of them are 51 by 41, so they're big.
Yeah, so there aren't too many places in the country that can do that, right?
No, there's only a couple.
okay.
that are capable anymore, so I have to travel.
Yeah, you have to travel.
It's a little, you know, it's laborsome because I also have to stay, oversee it, and make sure that, that everything is done right.
Okay. So go ahead and tell me a little bit about why we brought you here today and what you're excited about and what your passion is and things like that. I want to hear about all this stuff. I think my audience out there does too.
Well, my passion is definitely the Angel series. It's been a 13-year labor of love. And as we just spoke about, a small percentage of the images are sold as limited editions. The rest is made into cards. And that was created in hope that my images would be able to reach a larger audience. I name all of the images trying to explain the meaning, but as much as they have a special meaning to me, I feel that they have the capacity to touch people's souls in an individual way. And I've been told that angel images have had a very positive impact on people's lives. So my sense really is that art reaches a deep place within us. And my hope is that having one of the images will reach a deep place within each person.
Yeah, and I know down through the ages, you know, back in temples and churches in Europe, angels have been depicted, you know, since probably time began. But I noticed that in yours, there's a much greater definition of detail and clarity. And I know we were talking about that one day. You feel that that your expression is more closer to possibly what angels actually look like than some of these kind of artist renderings of what angels should look like. How is your feeling on that one?
My feeling is that angels look like we look, just larger,
yeah.
and because they have more capabilities and obviously not of Earth. So, and I wanted people to be able to relate. I think a lot of the paintings that were made through histories, and it seemed to stop in the 1600s, the angels, people have a harder time to relate to those angels. I wanted them to be able to relate to these angels, to understand they're not alone, and to be able to call on them and to help them out in their lives. And I wanted them to be more realistic.
Well, that's really good. So tell me about what are you doing? First of all, before we go any further, I noticed that you had one hanging in one of the corridors in the Pentagon, right? One of your prints.
Yeah, that's Freedom. I actually created Freedom, photographed it 6 months prior to 9/11, and it was my way of letting the families of our fallen heroes know that we understand that they have given the ultimate sacrifice, and so we can live in this country in a free way. It was hung in the Pentagon, and it is hopefully to be hung at Camp Pendleton now. It was created in the perpetual honor of our warriors, our peacemakers, and the protectors of freedom. And right now I've been fortunate enough to have two families donated in the remembrance of Mark A. Cagniglia that passed away about a month ago.
Now, was this one of the warriors and, you know, one of the Marines over there? Or?
No, he is a family member of one of my dear friends and the Cagnilias, and Kelly Haig and the Cagnilias combinedly donated the image.
Oh, okay. So I know when you say you're going to have one at Camp Pendleton, that's a second print. The one in the Pentagon will still stay there, but you'll have another one like that, a large painting like that, that will also go to another Marine institution, right?
Yes. I mean, my hope is to have all the freedoms. There's only 25 in the big black and white. I'm hoping to have them all, basically. It's fine that individual collectors would like to have them hang in their homes, but it was created for the families, and I would prefer to have them hung at military bases, the Marine base, the Army base, the Air Force, the Pentagon, and at American embassies all over the world.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I like that. So tell us a little bit about the War Memorial Foundation.
The War Memorial, I was called by Camp Pendleton, and they asked me to design a Freedom Memorial. And the design is based on water being the largest element in our bodies as well as on Earth. The water features never stop flowing, and they all connect, representing unity. It is a very serene space. It's designed to evoke a state of inner peace that will stay with you beyond your experience at the memorial. And the outer walls will be adorned with engraved angels watching over and protecting the fallen and the fighting heroes, like carrying off a fallen hero. And as you enter into the space, you are actually going to pass through cascading waterfalls that are going to be 8 foot deep on each side, and there's going to be 4 openings. And then on the inside, there's going to be waterways, and water will be coming down from underneath the names of our fallen heroes. And the renderings are still being finalized, so they still have to be approved. And of course, then there's a small fundraising of about $15 million. So if you know anybody that want to help out.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that people out there listening to this are very much into that. Are you going to have some of the pictures or renderings up on your website at some point in the future?
Yes, actually, I hope to have some of the photographs raise funds for the memorial. If it's approved by the government, it's going to take me about 10 to 15 days of 100 people on set to actually photograph the images that then will be engraved on the outside walls, and I haven't decided on the final material yet because I want it to be everlasting. So I was thinking of actually engraving it into granite.
Yeah, that would be awesome. A lot of work doing that, too.
It's going to be a serious amount of work. The wings are going to be built in Europe by my uncle, and it takes about 2 months to build, for when he does it, a set of wings. So
yeah, I noticed in your photographs there's a lot of different types of wings. Angels seem to have a wide variety of wings.
Well, of course, there's different sizes, different colors, and different shapes. And actually, if we do this memorial, it's going to take 15 to 20 sets of wings. And there's a new way that we've engineered them so they're lighter and they're bigger. Instead of being 6 feet tall, they'll be like 8.5 feet tall and 4 feet wide.
Yeah, they're huge. Are they very heavy?
The old ones were quite heavy, not like super heavy, but they were heavy. They were cumbersome because I wanted them to do certain things. And I like to photograph under extreme conditions, like below, you know, 5 below in Celsius, and I like to in windy situations, and therefore you get the movement, and the images look surreal because the angels will be sitting there completely still, like in faith, but it's actually 5 minus Siberian winds, and so you have all this movement at the bottom, but she's completely still.
Yeah, that's really neat. I know there's an old thing that says, old legend says, when you hear a bell, right? An angel got her wings, right?
Yes, that's that movie.
You know about that one, huh? That's a good one. So there's a lot of bells ringing around your place, I guess, when you're taking pictures.
All the time.
Yeah, that's really good. My name being Bell, that's important here, you know.
So, well, you know, it's because I'm an earth angel.
Yeah, I like that song, Earth Angel. Remember that one? Yeah, so tell me more. Now, how many of these freedom memorials do you think that'll be built? Yeah, and where do you think they'll be
located?
You
know, I know there's one that's going to be going up at Camp Pendleton. It's not a freedom memorial. It's a memorial for in the Middle East currently. I call mine a freedom memorial because I want it to be an ongoing memorial. And I've designed it so that the walls, more names, unfortunately, can be added and added. And because it's still an ongoing wall at this time.
We still have wars.
Yeah, so I designed it so that we can actually add more.
Yeah, we need to have more of these all over the place so we have less wars.
That's why we actually designed it to be such a serene, peaceful space so that you are left with that feeling as you enter and you exit.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. So tell me about what other things you got there, too? Oh, the
Fallen Hero
Foundation? Yeah, I want to get into that. That's going to, you know, the Fallen Heroes Foundation. Because I know on your website, you click on Heroes, and then all those letters are there. And all of you out there, her website is Kerry Swank. That's KerrySwank.com. And when you go on the website, click on Heroes and start reading those letters. And make sure you've got a box of handkerchiefs around when you read them, because they're pretty powerful letters. And just go ahead and tell us about that now.
Well, it happened because I have a friend, Gene Curcio, who is a very brilliant businessman. I met him at a mutual friend's office, and Paul LePrairie. And I was telling Paul I wanted to see if I could get sponsored to give the freedom image to the families, because I created the freedom image for the families, and as proud as I am that it hangs in the Pentagon, it was to go to the families for them to understand that we do remember that they gave their sons, their daughters, for our freedom. And Gene came in, and he's very laid back and relaxed, and I'm sitting there, and he goes, "What is it, babe?" And I go, "Well," I said, "I want to give this image to these families." And he goes, "Well, you're just trying to get your angel images out there." And I said, "Yeah, actually, I am trying to get my angel images out there because I believe they have a healing factor for people. And that's why it's been my love to do this." And he goes, "But I know you, so you generally want to give this to these families." I said, "Yeah, but I can't afford to." And he says, "Let me tell you what to do. You start a foundation. Don't make business so difficult. And this is what you do. You raise the money to sales of these images, and you print two, and the philanthropist that pays you for one family gets one, and the family gets one. And then you raise money, not just the images, for the families. So not only will the families get an image of freedom, they'll also receive an undetermined amount of funding as a donation to help them out."
Yeah, now you only print 25 of those, though, right?
No, but that's a different thing. We only print 25 in the limited edition in the big black and white, and we have 10 hand-colored, and then we have the small editions. But this edition is a special hand-colored print that is made for the families only, and it's not in a limited edition.
Okay.
You can't limit it because you don't know how many are going to pass away. So it's number one for number one family, number two for number two family, number three, number four, number five.
So you do number them.
We only number them like that.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, at least it's a number and it's something, and it shows you what the volume of that painting is. It also shows you how many sacrifices are being made. It's kind of a sad thing that it represents, but I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's heartbreaking.
Yeah. It's not that we want to run the numbers up on this deal.
I actually say we... Also, considering it's a hand coloring, a lot of those prints are not perfect, and I'm a perfectionist. So part of those prints, like one out of four, because it takes us about 3 to 6 hours to hand color a print.
Yeah, I saw you doing that. I mean, that looks like a detailed process.
Yeah, it's a pain. And it's also quite boring because I'm very creative. So, you know, it's the same thing over and over, but I am going to obtain like 25 graduates from art school and have them do the majority of the painting where I do the finalizing of their gravestones.
Yeah.
So, of the headstones.
Okay, so in other words, you do that too? Besides the paintings, you do a headstone too?
Well, the entire image, it's an angel walking through a cemetery with the American flag. And
right,
it is
and then the stones. And the,
yes,
yeah, okay.
From all our fallen heroes throughout history. She's actually going through the Presidio at San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm very aware of that place. At least we'll go up there. You know, the World's Fair, I think, in 1938 was there.
Yeah. That's a little too long away for me. Thank
you. You don't remember
God.
That? Yeah. I had a good time in that fair. That was a good fair.
Well, so you keep yourself up very well.
Yeah, I'm timeless, you know.
I hope to be.
Yeah, you're doing fine.
Thank you. I was fishing, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I always fish.
Yeah. So what else you got to tell us about now? Tell us about those letters. I want to know about the letters.
I actually talked to a lot of the families, and I've become friends with quite a few of them. Mary Ellen Bancroft being the first family I actually spoke to about this project, and she's become a very dear friend to me. It's heartbreaking. I mean, she has three children, and her youngest had just been born when her husband passed away overseas, and she just is putting one of the children through college right now. And, you know, it's $23,000 a year. And, yes, there's grants and so on. But she's very, very, very wise with her funding. But she had to move from her home in San Diego because she lost her husband. She moved up north in order to be able to afford the kind of lifestyle she wanted for her children. She didn't want to lessen their lifestyle, but she had to move them out of the environment. And it's still her dream to move back to San Diego.
Yeah.
And hopefully someday she can.
Does she have a house down there, her and her husband, or what?
Her and her husband had a house. She had to sell it. And she took every fund that she could and moved to Northern California, got another home. And she's very frugal. She's very smart about how she spends her funds.
Yeah.
But she's one of the fortunate. A lot of the families do not have that.
How long was her husband in the military?
You know, I don't know. I've never asked her those questions.
Yeah, was he probably in there a while if they had a home and everything? Usually, he's probably must have been making a career out of it or something.
Well, Matt, he was actually very young.
He was?
Yeah. Very handsome.
Yeah. He was a good-looking guy.
Yeah, and she's an absolute, she's the most beautiful person on the inside and the outside. And I hope that she moves down here because I'd like to have her close by.
How long ago did this happen, this event where she lost her husband anyway?
You know, I wouldn't be able, I talked to so many of the families that, and I'm, my memory on dates is certainly not very good.
Yeah.
Or names for that sake, but.
So tell me about some of the others. I think these fascinating, these stories, what happens to them. A lot of people don't realize, you know, it's a statistic. You see it on CNN or other news companies, and you know, and then you see so many people, three soldiers died today in Iraq. Well, there's a lot more than that. I mean, everybody does think about, oh my God, what about the husband, the wife, or the parents? But you know, when you really start digging into the details here, it's a lot more. It's like what happens afterwards, you know, and I think that's a very interesting story. I mean, that's why I wanted to talk about some of these things because it was fascinating reading a bunch of them, you know.
Well, it's the loneliness factor too. I mean, I one evening, I had one of the ladies call me. She lives somewhere in the Midwest, on the outskirts of town, right next to the woods, in a beautiful setting, actually, a very beautiful setting. But she has two little kids, and I think they're about 3 and 5. You can't quote me on that, but But she called me, and then I picked up the phone. I was sitting. I just finished business in my office, and I called her up, and she said, you have no idea how much I needed to speak to somebody. And an hour and a half later, we finally finished talking. And this is very common for me. I mean, in a general day, I will spend at least an hour talking to a family.
Every
some
day.
Days, yes.
Yeah,
and
day.
Some days.
How do they get a hold of you, by the way? I mean,
I'm listed.
Yeah,
and
what,
you go
what?
To the website, okay? So
yeah, I know, but I mean, if I were some housewife, or you know, maybe I'm had a wife that was in the military, and I'm a husband at home being too lazy to work, and my wife died, and I would be very upset. I mean, how would I find out about you? And just is there something that happens in the process of the paperwork through the military that your name comes up, or how do people find out?
No, there's actually no paperwork to the military. People find out word of mouth, and then they go to my site, and they go under the foundation, and then a lot of them are smart enough to go to information, and there I am. You just call me up, and a lot of the families will pass on my phone number to the other families.
Oh, interesting.
And, I mean, they've called me as late as midnight, which, I mean, I like to go to bed at 8:30, so
yeah, I know.
That's
early.
The only time I'm like, yeah, I get up very early, so, you know. But, yeah, it's But otherwise, no, it's fine. I would like to get a group of psychologists and counselors together to take some of these phone calls and to help these people to set up a free hotline where they could call in and they could get some help. Because
the military doesn't do that, obviously.
Well, I think the military certainly does it to some extent, but the military is overwhelmed. But so are the families, and the families need help.
Yeah.
And as much as the government does certainly help the families, they need more help, just like any other organization. And it's a hard choice, and I understand that for people, too. They go, well, you want us to help the families, but we're also helping. Well, so am I. I'm helping a lot of other organizations.
Yeah.
This is this one that I decided we are at war. It's important, and we need to help them now.
Yeah, that's very important. You're like me. I wish we didn't have wars on this planet. It's a big waste of time.
I think there's not one man, woman, or child that wishes for war. We all wish for peace, but the fact is we are at war.
Yeah, it's true.
So, therefore, I'm trying to help as much as I possibly can.
Now, another thing you were doing, what were you doing yesterday? I mean, you were another project you were working on, right, over at Hoag, or was that the day before?
Oh, that's not a project. I try to help people when they ask for help. So I went to see a little child that needed help.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of that, but yeah.
Well, that's important, you know. It's nice to know what you do with your time.
I design, too.
Yeah.
Besides memorial and photography, I designed a line of purses, so I have fun, you know.
Yeah. Tell me about your purses. I've seen a few of those. They're pretty nice.
Yeah, they're hot. I'm going to Italy in August. I'm going to make two of them. And they're They I don't actually want to say exactly what they are because then I'm giving it away, but they're very unique evening purses that makes it a little more simple and a lot more sophisticated and sporty for a woman. Instead of I started that whole design because evening purses to me are extremely boring.
Yeah.
And I wanted something fun, you know, that was still sophisticated but just had a little edge to it.
Yeah, no, they have a good edge.
Yeah, and Danes, you know, I don't know if you know this about Denmark, but we have a ton of incredible designers. So it's in my blood. And my uncle is a designer and an artist, Erling Andersen, and he designed those wings for me. And a fluke, I called him up one afternoon and I said, hey, Unc, you know, I've tried to find somebody to do the wings over here. I was even going to rent the Michael wings from the movie Michael.
Yeah.
Which was outrageous, $12,000 for 3 days. But I don't blame him, considering after building these, if I were to build my wings in this country,
yeah,
it would be $20,000-$30,000. I build them in Europe, and I average about $6,000 in plus shipping.
Shipping's got to be pretty. Yeah. You insure them? Imagine you do. You would insure them?
Oh, we do. And shipping is actually the biggest hassle because, especially now that all the border, you know, it's changed so much, the regulation. So getting anything across the border, but they're chemically treated, completely, you know, sterile.
Yeah.
So, and they have paperwork to this fact.
Yeah.
That's how we get them.
So you have to have certified wings brought in.
You got it.
That's funny. That's people don't think about, you know, all the cost to put one of these paintings together, one of these prints together. Not cheap to do one, is it?
No, it's actually an average day when I go shoot angels, it runs me about $10,000 a day.
Yeah.
So it's no joke. And then going in and actually cleaning them up, I mean, I am a mega perfectionist, and it took me 6 months, and I actually had Christopher Clark Fine Art, the owner of the gallery, finally told me, enough's enough. You need to stop. You know, you're going way overboard here.
Yeah.
Because I was standing on a big print in his, I was living in San Francisco, and I went over to his living room, and I said, now, what do you think? And he goes, it's perfect. And I go, I don't think so. And I took a big marker, and I got it on an end of a stick, and I'm, like, circling all the things that I still think needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're out of control. So I took it to the lab, and they said, Carrie, we'll make these changes, but could you please stop now? And I'm like, okay. And then it turned out to be perfect. And
when you make changes, what do you mean? There's, like, shading or something? Or
no, I'll rip it apart. I mean, like, the Freedom Girl is actually the same model as in Reflections, and she's actually sisters with the Journey Girl.
Okay.
And if you notice, Reflection and Journey, those two girls have the same hair. It's incredible hair.
Right.
And in the Freedom image, she doesn't actually have that hair. I took her hair off and gave her different hair. And then I rebuilt her face completely.
You mean like computer images?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I completely changed everything, and I went in because I wanted it to be of somebody that was just not recognizable, and I did not want, because it was Freedom.
Yeah.
That image was so important to me, and she had to look completely serene. And I went in there, and pixel by pixel, I changed that face of hers.
That's
I
amazing.
Changed the bone structure.
So it costs another several $1,000s after the $10,000 shoot. Then it costs many more thousands of dollars because these labs are not cheap.
No, actually, I flew to Denmark for 21 days, and I work with a I'll call him the computer geek in Copenhagen. He has like 5 computers going at the same time. And at one point, he kicked me out. He goes, go downstairs. There's a fabulous restaurant downstairs from his place. And he goes, go down there, get us refreshments, just get out of my hair. Because I went, you know that? You see that fingernail there? I don't like it. So you need to change that. And then that image over there, we were working on 5 at a time. And
wow.
He just went, you're out of here, because we were working from 8 in the morning till somebody 7, 8 at night every day for 21 days.
And how many images were you working on? You must have been working on quite a few, huh?
I think about 16 images
wow.
at the time.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of images.
Oh, we didn't finish them. I mean, we got them to a certain level, and then I left Denmark, and I took all the files back to America, and then I worked in San Francisco with one group, and then I took the images to a certain level with that group, and then I went to another group. And then it went to negative, and then it went to print.
Yeah, that's amazing. But look, that's really good, though, because you know, I always say, what you put into something, you get out of it. Whatever you put into it, you'll get out of it. And if you do it halfway, then you're going to have a halfway product. And I'm glad to know, You know, I didn't even realize that there was that much perfection in this thing. So one of those prints before you get done probably costs $30,000 just to make the first one.
Yeah, it's expensive. And that's not
and
it.
And you got 16 of them. That's getting some serious change. You're way up in the six figures now.
I know.
And you haven't even sold anything yet, right?
I know. Well, we have now, but, you know, at the time, no. But I also, and on top of it, there's the dresses. Like right now I'm redesigning them. The dresses, and I actually, the original dresses were designed by Anita Tabib and myself. It was a collaboration, just like the wings were with my uncle. But the new dresses, I've started drawings on, and they are going to be quite extraordinary, and so are all the customs. If the memorial becomes a reality, it's going to be male angels, majority, that's going to adorn those walls.
Male angels?
Yes.
Wow. And so, because you got females so far.
Yes, because it's just a...
I can't wait to see a male angel.
It's an undertaking to go to the male angels. You know, it's quite expensive. I mean, I'm going down to actually having sandals constructed and warrior pieces constructed.
Well, you know what's really funny? We always hear about Gabriel, Michael, you know, all the different...
Those are the seven
angels. They're all the guys, but we always see girl angels. Yeah. You know, we always see faith, hope, love, and charity. And beyond that, you don't really see anybody else, you know?
Well, actually, I'm going to sometime the end of this year and the beginning of next year, I'm going to actually shoot the seven archangels.
Well, that'll
and
be
that
hot.
Would be Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, Sarahiel, Remiel, Uriel. I'm forgetting somebody. Yeah.
And Joe.
No.
Joel. Yeah.
Who I'm going to get punished for that one.
Angel Joe. How do you think these angels are going to come and get you now?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. So that's going to cost you a fortune to do that.
That's probably going to be my, I mean, besides
those are
from
expensive
the,
boyfriends.
I know, that's going to be my most expensive undertaking ever, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Then you just get bigger and better.
I hope so. I'm certainly trying, and I hope to never stop learning because it's a fun process, and I love getting up in the morning. I love what I do, and I have a lot of fun.
How did you get, you know, the notice of the military? It's not just easy for anybody, especially an artist. I mean, for an artist to get the attention of military, I mean, even defense contractors can't get the attention of the military. How does an artist even get recognized by somebody at the Pentagon or wherever these things have been going? How does that happen anyway?
I hang in the Pentagon, and that got to hang there after 9/11.
Yeah.
And I donated it to the Pentagon, and it was chosen out of a lot of images, actually. And
so it was chosen. There was competition. And just,
oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You just weren't hanging out there having some coffee and a cigarette at the Pentagon
cafeteria.
We do
not smoke, okay?
Yeah, and or a cigar.
And we don't date guys that smoke either.
Yeah, I don't blame you. But, I mean, you weren't just hanging out there. A little Rummy came up and says, hey, baby, I heard you paint, you know? didn't happen like that, like the rumor is, no? Yeah.
No. I have a very good friend, Don, and he had connections to the Pentagon and contacted them and handled the, his name is Don Spearman, actually. Sorry, Don. And they handled the whole process of that and got it into the Pentagon. As far as Camp Pendleton, I was starting the foundation and needed advice from Camp Pendleton in order to contact the families and be respectful to do it in the right manner. Because obviously I'm not of military quality, so I'm an artist.
Yeah.
And I'm...
You don't salute too well.
No.
You don't march too well.
So I had to learn a few...
You don't know what route step means, about face, attention, and parade rest. You know any of those commands?
No, I must say.
Wow.
But I'm going to a ceremony, so I'm going to learn.
Yeah. You want to take Dr. Fred to that ceremony, I heard.
I'm going to, yes.
Yeah, Camp Pendleton.
No, I went to Camp Pendleton and got to be friends with a few people down there. And then one day was contacted by Camp Pendleton and asked if I would be interested in designing a memorial. And to be honest, my response was, you know, I'm not an architect, and but I am a designer, so let me think about it. And then 2 months later, we spoke again, and I said, okay. I said, I'll sit down and do some renderings. And then I did the first renderings. To be honest, it took me about 10 minutes to do them. And then now the final renderings is what's taking the time, because now I'm doing actually the renderings of the outside walls, and that is an enormous amount of work.
Yeah, it's boring to me, but I mean, I'm an artist too, but not like on your level. And when you got to sit down and do something, it's like painting over and over and over again. It isn't the same thing. So you have to apply details to your own self now. You've locked into your own nature with your own details, because you can't have somebody else do them. You've got to do them now, right?
I have to do them, yes. Yeah. It's a pain, but it's okay.
It's fun, huh?
I'll get through it, and then I'll go on to another project that's you know, a little more.
Are you some kind of a descendant of Betsy Ross? That was my next question.
I have no idea.
You don't have a history of making flags for different countries.
No. But that would be fun. Yeah. I wouldn't mind doing it.
You'd be good at it.
Yeah, I'd have fun. I'm very technical. I'm a technical drawer, too, so I would have fun doing
some of these new nations that we're creating by upsurging old ones probably need some flags.
I'll be glad to design a few.
Yeah, that would be funny, you know. But a lot of people don't realize that in the history of the United States and Europe and that women have been designing uniforms. They've designed all kinds of flags and all kinds of things, including our flag. Obviously, Betsy Ross did ours. But people don't realize the effect that women have had, you know, angels probably, through the years on the sovereignty and the expression of that sovereignty of all different nations all over the world. It's kind of a neat process. So it's kind of neat to have you on our show as being one of these sovereign princesses that does this kind of stuff. All the way down to the purses.
Well, you know, the government's got to approve my memorial first. They're first going to like it after they see it. They haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
They have seen a little bit, but they have to see the final, and then hopefully it gets approved, and hopefully we get that fundraising going and gets built.
I'm sure they'll approve it. I'm sure that you'll keep bugging them with your changes until they approve it. So they'll probably approve it to get you to go away. Right?
Most likely, a lot of people do try that one.
Yeah, they finally just give in. You know?
Are you sure your friend wants to date me? Don't be so sure. Okay, I haven't dated anybody in a
Doug
while.
Doug up there, yeah. Doug, you better be listening in. I know you're listening right now, Doug. So, and there's her phone number. It's right there. You know, you might put your phone number out there too, whichever number you're going to use, so that people can get a hold of you if they want to speak to you directly. You know.
Yeah, I'm going to use my my business number.
What is that?
949-497-2567.
Yeah, so that's good for anywhere from dating to donating to war memorials to buying pictures. That's a catch-all number. So you're going to have to change it. You're going to have your secret private number now.
It better be buying pictures. That's all I can tell you guys.
Yeah, buying pictures, huh? Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and helping the foundation, that would be good too. Thank you.
Yeah. I understand some local people even have already been helping out on some of that. Some of our listeners out there have actually.
Yeah, the Cagnelias and Kelly Hake, they just helped out with Camp Pendleton for the Freedom donation. And then others have helped just in general, you know, they purchase the limited editions, and that helps me keep going so that I can keep creating more and spending the time on designing.
Yeah.
So, because right now it's all self-funded. I do it on my own, so.
Yeah. So, who's your business manager? You are?
I don't care. It's like it's a very poor situation.
So you might need a business manager.
I might need a free meal, okay?
Yeah, you might. Yeah, if you have all these changes, I can see where you like to spend money with computer houses. That's pretty interesting.
Well, actually, I like to spend my money on shoes at Neiman Marcus, okay?
That's right. You and Imelda Marcus were really good friends at one time right here.
Well, I keep it at 100. I don't think that's so obscene.
Yeah, but I heard you got in trouble when you were in the Philippines for stealing some shoes out of her closet one day. Was that you? Was that some other Carrie Swank?
No, I actually like to go to Palm Desert and get my friend Gene to buy me some very nice shoes.
Oh, good.
His wife likes me. She likes me a lot. I got her some very nice Jimmy Choo's. So.
That's funny. I like to buy motorcycles.
We noticed you have a few in your garage. Okay?
Yeah, I've been buying those since I was a kid, you know. I didn't get them overnight. One of them I had 44 years ago, and it got away from me, and I had to get it back. So.
Well, the way I see it is if I lose my vehicle, I'll be coming over here to get one of yours.
Yeah, we got plenty of them around here.
What do you think? I look like a motorcycle chick?
Hmm. Yeah. I heard you were dating a biker dude before, a while back, before he got married, I guess. That was a pretty interesting story. But you were dating a biker dude, right?
Yeah, I was dating a biker dude, and... Yeah, I haven't dated anybody in a couple of months now, but yeah, I did date a biker dude, and I got on the bike once and decided, not for me.
You're not a Harley chick.
No, I'd much rather sit in one of those safe spaces, you know.
That's funny. I mean, whoever would have thought that Carrie Swank, the angel lady, angel girl, would be riding on Harleys?
Well, actually, I'd like to shoot a angel on a Harley.
That would be good.
I've wanted to do that for a long time, but, you know, a real angel on a Harley.
You want a Hell's Angel?
No, I want a real angel, darling.
Oh, a real one. Yeah. So how are you going to get a real one?
I create it.
Okay, you're going to create it.
And, of course, you're going to get me the bike. Huh?
Oh, yeah, I've got a Harley in the garage you can use. You want to use my Harley, you're welcome to it.
And you're going to have to clean that one up.
Yeah, we want Arlen Ness to do it for you, the billet master. You know, the really $100,000, $200,000 motorcycles from Arlen Ness. We can get Arlen to get one. I know, maybe Jay Leno. He's got some pretty nice ones. I'm sure he can.
No, I like that idea. Yeah, and we can put him on as an angel, you know.
Jay Leno would love it. Are you kidding?
Put a few horns on him, too.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
Yeah. I know a couple people then that are well-known that I'd like to put some horns on, you know. But so anyway, I'm glad that you're doing all this stuff. And what are your plans in the future with angels? What's going to happen after the war memorial? Are you going to go on? You must have more ideas that you're working on. Are they all classified at this point or what?
No. I mean, I'd like to do this, obviously, and I'd like to do I'd certainly like to design something for all the forces. That would be a huge gift to do that.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to, my next project is really to try to get the freedoms to be hung at all the American embassies.
That would be a really good
around
one,
the world. I'm currently working on the Danish embassy and American embassy in Denmark and Brussels.
Yeah.
And my Aunt Diana Duving works with them. So I kind of have a foot in the door.
Yeah.
Per se. So, she also works with the American ambassador of Denmark.
Did you?
No, she does.
Oh, she does. Well, that'll help. Yeah, it's all about who you know these days. Relationships makes things happen. I know. But I wish there was more of those paintings out there. I wish that George Bush had about four of them in his Oval Office. You know, before we got this war going in Iraq, because all of the spent nuclear material that we've put over there on our warheads and all of the, you know, I've seen how it affects the kids, you know, not just the children of the, you know, the warriors, the children of American citizens, but also the kids of the natives over there, the Iraqis. It's terrible, but some of these, the radiation from these tanks, they blow up a tank with radioactive material, and kids go out and play by this wrecked tank, and pretty soon they all have cancer, you know, and that's pretty sad. People don't realize the spoils of war and the victims of war. So I think that your work is very important. And I'm sure you'll think about that, and you probably already do when you work on these different photographs.
Well, that's the
thing
about angels. Angels are peaceful. They are of God. They are of the light of God, and they are God's messengers. So that is part of the whole message, is that angels are here to bring us peace and serenity.
Yeah.
And hopefully they will help.
Yeah, I think that my feeling is that we need more pictures of them around. We need a lot more of them. We really do.
Well, after being at Chalk Hospital yesterday, I would really like one hung at Chalk Hospital.
Yeah.
And at all the children's hospitals, to be honest. I think that that'll help. I gave out the angel cards when I was there.
Yeah. Do you sell those angel cards? I remember you gave me a few of those, too. What's the deal on those? I've got a set of them here for friends that I...
You can actually go on site and buy them. I currently haven't done any marketing with them. I've actually been giving them out to major organizations like Nicole Brown Simpson. I gave them a whole bunch of them for the invitations for the, what is it called? The Hugh Hefner. They had a big event up there, and I wrote a prayer for them as their intro that went out to everybody. That's another thing I do. I write prayers and let organizations use the prayers and the cards to raise funds.
But where does somebody go to see what have you posted any of that work, or is that still?
No, I've never really done it. It's just that they've come to me and asked if I would do it. Like they came to my home and asked, would you write a prayer for our organization, and can we use your cards as our invitations? And I said, sure.
Yeah.
So I can't actually write on top of it.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah, no, that's right. You ought to send those over to Hallmark or somebody. I bet you'd sell a heck of have a lot of them.
I wouldn't actually know. I haven't looked into that.
Well, so. I know when I go out in Christmas time and birthday time, for friends and family. The selection even in the Hallmark store and the drug stores and Save-On, there isn't much there. The cards are really stupid. I mean, to me, I don't know, maybe I'm arrogant, but I know I'm conceit. I know in my family there's no conceit because I have it all. But when I go out and I see these things in these stores, I'm not very impressed. It's like, okay, I'll buy that one, and just out of sheer frustration. So I think we need to get you out in those stores. I really do.
I'd actually like to be in the stores, but I'd also like those cards on the military bases.
Yeah.
You know, to be sold in the military stores.
Yeah,
that's actually one project I'm going to go after next year.
Yeah.
Or maybe this year, but I don't know. But that is actually extremely important to me, especially to have freedom, reflection, serenity, faith, those images to be sold at the bases.
Yeah, we have a large military presence in our audience. I know that we go, this show goes all over the world, and I know for a fact that a lot of the military out there listen to the show in many countries, many bases. So if any of you guys out there that control the buying over at the PX stores, you know, give Carrie a call, because you know, she's easy to deal with. Even though she's not done this before, I'm sure you could arrange to get a bunch of these printed and out.
We'll have Gene Curcio help me.
Yeah.
He'll work it out.
Yeah, we need to get that. That's a good product. I mean, that's, green card business is very important, and I think it's sadly, I had a friend of mine do some cards for Hallmark, and they were kind of cute, you know, little children kind of cartoon cards, and they were really nice. But beyond what he did, and that was years ago, I haven't really seen much out there that was different. It's all the same.
No, I know my cards are unique. That is one thing. And I realize that they really reach people. And I've had people just tell me that it has greatly affected their lives. And actually, a lot of people will take the cards themselves and frame them because they can't. I mean, the limited editions, because they're such small editions, you know, they're quite expensive. And the average person, including myself, will buy the cards and take those cards and frame them and put them up.
Yeah,
so,
well, in mass production, now you're going to be real fussy about some card maker making thousands of these things up.
I would certainly have to see and oversee the product, yes.
You'd be quality controlling those too, huh?
I certainly would, yes.
But you'd have the image already, you know, fussed over before it got to them for printing.
I would have everything perfect, but there's still a little chance in printing, and I would want to see before, you know, it goes out there, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's no big deal. It's a very easy process.
Yeah.
I go to the blue line and go, okay, I'll approve it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know a little bit more. We've got a little bit of time left, about 10 or 12 minutes. So I want to know a little bit more about these families that you know, that have lost somebody. What happens to them? And is there a certain amount of money that they get paid depending on how long the person is in the service, or is there just a general fund that everybody...
I think if you buy the insurance, and I believe, now don't quote me on this because I'm not 100% sure, but I think that each Marine will have to buy their own insurance. And then I believe...
Like life insurance.
Yes, and then when they pass away, I believe they pay like $250,000, but which may seem like first of all, there's no price. You can't put a price on it.
No, you can't put a price.
So it's such a difficult thing to answer, but I can tell you this. $250,000 is certainly not going to carry you with two small children.
Very far.
And put them through college.
No.
And a roof over their head. And in general, most of these women do not work. They were housewives.
Yeah.
Or their parents. I mean, it is really, truly devastational. And some of the families don't want to talk about the money. I've even had families that all they want from me is they just want the image. They have no interest in the monetarily funding the donation. They simply just want the image because that's what has meaning to them. And they said, and so how I've set it up when we do get approval, final government approval, is that it's set up so that the families that did not want the funding, because there will be funding, will put that money aside and divide it up, you know, because it's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, in your foundation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we also have, that was what I didn't touch on earlier, there'll be images that are not quite perfect, but we've done so much work to them and they're expensive to print in the first place, those images are actually going to go to veterans.
Okay.
They're going to be called proofs, okay. You know, and they will go to the veterans' families.
Okay. So. Now, veterans are from the earlier combative times that we've had.
Well, even from this war,
yeah.
When they come back and they're, you know, they're hurt.
In the future, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know they're building some new hospitals for them now, and I personally have been donating just money to the veterans.
Now, see, I'd like one of those images to hang in one of those hospitals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're having a lot of fun doing a difficult job.
I have fun, but it's taxing, and there are days I get up at 4 in the morning and I work till 11 at night and I'm tired.
Yeah.
And it's all based on helping these families and trying to complete this job.
So are you still getting, you get calls, I mean, during the period of the week, how many families do you think call you anyway? I mean,
in a given week, I'd say five, six families, you know, and a lot of the same families. I'll talk to the same families again and again.
Yeah. You stay in touch with some of them for quite a long time?
I'm always going to stay in touch with quite a few of these families. They've become very good friends, yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about as sincere as I guess you could possibly get, you know. It's nice to meet somebody and have somebody on the show that does this kind of work, because we've never had anybody on the show ever, and I've never been on any other shows where they've had anybody like you, so it's kind of, you're kind of unique, and that's...
Well, I was kind of brought up in Denmark, being told by my parents that America saved Europe. And
yeah.
We had a book in our family that depicted, you know, minute by minute, the Second World War in my father's home city.
Wow. Which,
and
which
I
one?
Actually have a copy of that book, and I think there's only a few copies in the entire world. So,
wow.
But we had two copies in our family, and I have one of the copies. And my father used to tell me all the time, he said, "You have no idea how privileged you are to live in a free country." And he was also president, worldwide president of an American company. So he traveled to America a lot. And I was exposed to America a lot because of him. And when I was, I think, 11 years old, I turned to him and I said, "Papa, someday I'm going to live in America." And he said, "No, darling, you should go to Switzerland." Because he used to send me to Switzerland every summer to be taught.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to go to a Swiss school and become international in business and translation and politics. And I'm so glad I didn't take that route. I married an American at 18, you know.
You did?
And moved to America.
That's pretty hot. Yeah.
Ran away from home.
That's too
so
funny.
Yeah.
You got married at 18. You were young.
I was very young, yeah.
They do that down in Tennessee here, you know, in Arkansas. Did you ever go to Tennessee or Arkansas?
I don't believe so, no.
Yeah, that's where they get married at 16 down there.
No,
pretty
no.
young. They used to. I don't know if they do anymore now. Now I think it's child molesting now, but but it never used to be, you know. Things are changing.
Yeah.
It's too bad that kids today don't behave like kids did in your generation, in my generation, and have these...
Don't make me sound
values.
Too old here, okay? Watch out.
Yeah, well, I know you're only 25, but...
Thank you.
But, you know, it's true. I mean, the values of the present generation are not like the values of our time, and you know, I'm much older than you are, but the generation values are just something else. I used to think that everybody should be in the military just for discipline. You know, I've got one of my daughters, I wish it had gone in the military for discipline. She sure needed it, you know.
I actually think that there's some real truth to that. I think that it gives you a much better upbringing. I will say my father was very free in a lot of ways, but I'll tell you, you sat down at that table, you better have table manners.
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't do anything, you know, wrong, as he would never punish us, but he would look at me and he would just raise one eyebrow. And I would sit up so fast and do everything perfect because I knew that he was, no.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, the value of freedom. You know, it's like in your painting, I don't think Americans today, you know, really, really appreciate the value of freedom. I mean, you know, even though we have this pseudo Patriot Act, martial law, loss of freedom thing going on, there's still a freedom here that... is appreciated, and it's really neat that you would bring up the fact that your father came from a generation that appreciated, because you know, the liberation of America to your country, because I don't think people would have liked Hitler too well. I don't think he's the kind of guy that you'd want in your neighborhood running your affairs and having the SS snoop around, and you wouldn't want to go to one of those concentration camps where they sent you forever to die. And I what people forget about in the last 40 years where we've come a long ways.
Maybe. No, it's enormous. I mean, that was one thing when, you know, the old routine with your parents go, well, you better eat that dinner. And as a child, I never ate. I changed my mind today.
Yeah.
You know, I love food. But back then, I had no interest. I just wanted to play soccer and handball and stickball. I just didn't want to eat my meals. And my parents would go, you know those children?
Yeah.
In the Second World War and in Africa, you better eat up that plate. You know, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that's so funny to talk to somebody that had the kind of upbringing I did, you know. That's pretty amazing.
I think it still, not so much in Scandinavia, but I think in certain countries in Europe, it's still the same way today.
Yeah.
The upbringing, yeah.
So you're an European girl.
I'm Scandinavian,
yeah, I know. You know, you guys almost look Pleiadian with your blue eyes and your gold hair.
Green eyes.
Green eyes. They're kind of bluish green, I guess.
They are, actually. One is bluish green, one is green.
Yeah, well, that's Dan Aykroyd. My friend Dan Aykroyd has a green eye and a blue eye, and I have a daughter that has a green eye and a blue eye. You know.
No, I'm not quite that. It's
only
a little shift.
green eyes, is all I've got. But I think that's really cool. What do you think of looking at the American children today? In closing, here out the show, what do you think of where our youth is in this country today versus in the parenting today versus what in the generation you came up in? You know.
Well. The Cagnelias that just donated this, they have that kind of upbringing with their children. It's, Holly is probably the best mom I've ever seen. But I think it's very difficult in today's society. I don't think it's all based on the parents. I think it's based on everything that is input to these children. And I think it's a very difficult situation to bring your children up with the same values that we had back then. I think it can be done, but I think it takes the parents sitting down with the children on a daily basis and spending time with them. And unfortunately, our society is so fast that so many people just do not have the time. I also think that when you have more than two children and you are still living in a society today where everything moves so quick, very little time is given to each individual child, and therefore they lack that upbringing.
No, I agree with all of that. I really do. I think I totally agree with that. I think people live beyond their means, way beyond their means. And so, therefore, they don't have time to deal with the kids like they used to. That's kind of my feeling, anyway. So I guess we're kind of running out of time here. And I think everybody had a good time, you know. I think it's getting late, so I'm ready to go back in the water. Do you want to go swimming?
No, I want to go have a nice French meal.
A French meal?
Glass of wine and go to bed.
Oh, that's what you're going to do, huh?
Yeah.
You go on BBS radio and then you go to bed.
Well, it's way beyond my bedtime, you know.
Yeah. Well, that was another show. We thank Carrie Swank for joining us, having a little bit of fun. Be sure and go to her website, carrieswank.com. Give her a call. And what's your number again? Finish your number out there one more time.
949-497-2567.
Very good. So we'll look forward to everybody coming to another BBS Radio, Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show. We'll see you all Tuesday night. Wow, there goes a whale. We had a whale of a time tonight with Carrie. Eat your heart out, Doug Newsom.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.